This conference is being recorded.
Satnam, everybody. Oh, that was so wonderful. The masters are here. Yogi Bhajan asked me to start recording and to share the relief and the beauty of that we can cast out the evil spell of darkness, whatever we want to call it. Somebody needs to star six their own speakerphone or something because we're getting an echo. So if you haven't star six, here we go. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so, wow. So let's just breathe in. So we were just, it wasn't recorded, but we were casting out the master of discomfort out of our physical bodies, out of our nervous system, from the beautiful story that archetypical story that Arete shared with us, that at the beginning of creation, that the Creator allowed in the master of discomfort, only a small portion, only 1.5%, but its roots grew and it got bigger. And now it's time for these karmic beings that have basically been parasites on planet Earth to leave. And so first we reclaimed our own bodies with our breathing, our own root system, which is the nervous system, our own roots. And we cast out the spell, the master of darkness, the spell of evil that we received from the world around us, from the genetic lineage since the beginning of time. So we could feel that flowing in our nervous system, our veins, that pure land of milk and honey, the Lemurian land of peace. I think that everybody on this call is Lemurian, I know. Arete and I are. And I think you others are too. So just to return to that vibration, that frequency where we live in the dimension where there's the feeling, the harmonious feeling of the land of milk and honey flowing in our veins. So the land of milk and honey really means that feeling, that good feeling with every breath that comes into our body. So that when we're breathing, we can actually feel good with every breath and feel the goodness of the planet and the goodness of the earth and the good feelings that are our heritage, they're our birthright to reclaim in this lifetime, to reclaim the feeling of flow, the feeling of the mother, the feeling of unity with nature so that we can feel good. And as we flow through the physical dimensions with all of its changes and seasons, that we can retain that feeling of harmony with nature, and we don't have to get, as a culture, as beings, so out of balance that we become a completely pain-based culture, which is what's happened. So we're reclaiming the land of milk and honey. So we're breathing that in and we're breathing out the master of discomfort, the master of darkness, the lords of karma. We banish them from the kingdom of our own bodies, and we banish them to go to where they need to go if they have karma to complete. We no longer need them, so we ask them to leave, and we command them to leave. Wow, thank you, Arete. Oh, I feel so released. just what I needed. Wow, and this totally perfect timing when we have what we've been talking about last week and before, Venus in Pisces and in the sun sign of Pisces, and we've just completed on Monday the Virgo full moon, the Earth. The Virgo is the servant, or she's the priestess. She's the priestess of the Earth that takes us deep into her womb. So we've had the full womb, the giving birth to the underworld, to the mother, to that which is unseen, the darkness. So we've had the full moon where now the mother is starting to give birth with the flow, with the water, with the Pisces. So the water brings life. So we have the seed, and when we water the seed, it brings life. So this is the moment to bring forth the land of milk and honey, to birth in our consciousness the land of milk and honey, the new world, the new river of love to flow onto this planet, and to have that river cleanse the darkness, the evil that's taken root, the pain, the discomfort, the disconnection from the mother the disconnection from the love and the nurturing of the womb of the mother, the disconnected connection from life that flows through our veins. This is the moment that we're in time right now, to reintroduce this frequency onto the planet for the next. So it takes root, and this is what grows. This is the time of seeding the next yuga, the next age, the next 2,000 years. So in this moment, with our breathing, with our talking, with our thoughts, with our feelings, with our nervous system, we're seeding that frequency into the field, into these higher dimensions. And I'm seeing angels literally carrying the seeds of our love, the seeds of us holding this frequency to all the dimensions, to places more than we know. So we in physical body need to embrace this land of milk and honey frequency so that the angels can then carry it to other places. You have to be embodied to plant the seed, to seed it, and that's what we're doing right now in this moment. So we're being thanked by the angels. Okay, good. Wow. Okay. Oh, my gosh. So we've got Cancer, Pisces in the sun sign Pisces, Cancer in Pisces, Grand Trine, Saturn in Scorpio, all in Pisces. So we've got this Grand Trine in water. It's a triangle. So when you think about triangles, this is a six-dimensional time that we're in right now, sacred geometry. So it's a time to really plant the seed in these sacred geometric forms. These planets are saying, we're creating a harmonic resonance to work with you to plant the seeds of this new consciousness. So we're in this Pisces, kind of a magical sign where magic can happen. Water can come in and cleanse the darkness, and it can just flow away. It doesn't have to be painful. So we can allow this pain that we've been bound by to be released into the infinite flow of the mother. We have right now really the archetypical moment that we've just been talking about with Arit's story. We also have this moment, it can also be represented by the myth of Inanna, and we've talked about this before. But again, I want to bring this forth as as I feel like the archetype of what's happening on the planet right now. And Inanna, the myth of Inanna, is the oldest known myth that was known, and it was found written on clay tablets in the 3rd millennium BC, although it's said to be much older than that. It's said to be a myth from pre-writing times, pre-literate times, where stories were just told by word of mouth. But the descent of Inanna is found written on clay tablets from the Sumerian time. So it's said to be the descent of the queen Inanna, the goddess, from the pure heavenly realms into the underworld, or into 3D, or into the womb of the mother, into just completely surrendering to nature and what she goes through to reclaim her connection with the divine. It's like a loss of innocence, but it also represents being born to the womb, coming from that pure, heavenly, innocent state, and coming through the darkness through the womb and giving birth and being just thrust into 3D, thrust into the darkness and not knowing what to do. So Inanna decides from her pure, untouched place in heaven that she's going to descend into the underworld. So she's from the highest heaven, and she wants to go into the depth, the deepest depth of the earth, into the underground, into the darkness. So she wants to abandon heaven. She's bored with heaven. She's tired of just harp playing all the time. It's too good. It's too good to be true. She wants to feel her senses. She wants to be in her tatsas, as we'd say. So she jumps into the underworld. She jumps into the womb of the mother. And she has to go through the gates of the netherworld. So there's seven gates, which to me represent the seven chakras. So she stopped at each gate, and each gate she has to give up her, what they call her raiments, her clothing, her heavenly clothing that she's clothed in kind of these layers of illusion. But she's disconnected, so she can't be totally happy in heaven. So she's trying to figure out how she can feel that connection with heaven and earth. So they say first you have to completely forget everything, which is what the game is, the God game, when we come onto the planet. You know, we're born, we forget all of our past lives, all of our connection with heaven, and then we try to regain that. So she has to go through the seven gates of the underworld. So the first one, first chakra, she has to take off an article of clothing or a memory of heaven for each one. So she has to take off her shoes, first chakra, and walk barefoot on the earth. And she has to feel, as she moves into her creativity, into her sexuality, she has to feel the pain of birth. And she moves up into her heart. And she has to find love and compassion for that pain. And she has to go through all these gates, these seven gates. And she's so forlorn. She doesn't know. She's forgotten heaven. And she just feels so much intensity. And she requests her God beings, friends, to come and get her if she can't find her way back after 3 days. And after 3 days, she doesn't return to heaven. So they come looking for her. And they find that they just see this corpse hanging in the wind. I know it's really graphic, but it just represents that loss of connection with spirit, with the spirit of life, with the spirit of the mother, bringing the love and comfort onto the earth. It's that disconnection. It's the loss, the moving into duality and forgetting how to be in harmony with the depths of the mother, with the earth. So they find her and they take her back and they nurse her back to life and they give her life flowing food and drink. So they give her the Pisces energy, remembering to be connected with spirit in the physical. And it's been told in many different ways, obviously, since the beginning of time. And so she can't be completely released from the underworld until she finds a replacement. And so part of the myth is how she looks to find a replacement. And how many times as a mother, as a woman, walking on the earth, does maybe the woman wish for a replacement? Maybe when she's in childbirth, maybe when she's taking care of children and taking care of a husband and cooking and working, you know, it's like there needs to be lots of her, lots of support. But she can't, the myth says she can't find a replacement. She can't find a substitute. So they say, well, you're bound to come into the underworld for half of the year, and half of the year you can be returned to heaven. So this is the archetypical crisis of how do we combine heaven and earth and keep the harmony with the mother and with nature and with the earth flowing in our veins, in the land of milk and honey, and so that we can be at peace with our spiritual consciousness, the Pisces energy, the 12th house, merging with spirit, and with life, with the flow of Mother herself. So this is what I see as like the archetypical creation wound, that with this time that we're in, we're at the beginning of healing the split between being disconnected from the flow of nature, from the flow of life, which has created all this pain on the planet, you know, whether it's giving school children Prozac or whatever it happens to be, when children are allowed to play and run and be in the sun and be nurtured by the mother and allowed to be themselves, when everybody's just allowed to be themselves and feel the flow of life, we can create a harmony, a resonance. So that's what we're being asked to move into, I think, by all the lineup of the planets and by heaven on earth at this time. So, let's take a breath and just fill up our lungs and fill up ourselves that feeling of heaven on earth, the land of milk and honey running through our veins, cleansing our own nervous system, and reclaiming our own bodies. So we can reclaim our own bodies and set the frequency in the field, and then that frequency will go out to others. So we can reclaim our own natural rhythms, our own deep breathing, and reclaiming it for ourselves and reclaiming it for others. So just breathe into that. Breathe into that. And we've chanted the Ma meditation before, but not for a while. So I was meditating before the call, deep breathing. And this is the meditation that I was directed for all of us to just move into, to surrender to, in this time of Pisces. Surrender to the Mother. We can't have too much of that. The Divine Mother that brings life and brings the good feelings and brings the harmony back onto the earth. So deep breathe and open up your heart.
Thank you.
inhale. Just breathe in. Bountiful, beautiful, and blissful. Land of milk and honey. And let it go, let it go. Beautiful. And slowly come back. Good. Would anybody like to share how you're feeling or talk about what we talked about today, what Arit and I talked about today? The reconnection with the mother. Go ahead.
That was so nice.
Ah, thank you. I felt it really helped me a lot because I've been, like Linda, recovering from the flu and well, we have other people that are recovering from things. That really helped me. That really helped me a lot.
Can you feel the love that I have for all of you? I mean,
yeah.
I'm so full of love. I don't know how to express that.
I totally feel it. I feel so much milk and honey love flowing through my veins. I really do.
Yes,
from everybody.
I really have so much love for all of you. I love you dearly.
Oh. Oh, I'm going to breathe to that. I'll breathe to that.
Ah.
Wow. That really fills me up and takes all my pain away.
Thank you.
Seriously.
But now, this is Sharon. I just have to share something. I didn't hear everything at the first part of the call, but anyway, yesterday I was walking in the woods. I was chanting that, you know, I am bountiful and beautiful, you know, the meditation as I was walking in the woods. And these chickadees were actually like flew down and were talking to me. It was so cool. It was just like they were communicating with me. And you were just talking about the milk and honey and the love. You know, I've been really feeling that ever since, like, you know, full moon, especially yesterday and just into today. And so thank you for doing that again.
Thank you, Sharon. I so feel that. Wow, that's
love.
So cute. The chickadees were
love.
Talking.
Yeah. No, I kept hearing them, and it was just so awesome. They were just, man, this one was, you know, I stopped too, and he just sat right there, and as he came closer, it was just like, wow, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful.
Beautiful.
Wow, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Sure, Karen, it says, Sweet, I wanted to share something too. This weekend, I had a very, I guess it was an extraordinary day. The rehab hospital that my husband had been staying in, they knew that we were singers, so they asked my husband if he would come and if our group would come and sing. So we put on a show for them this past Saturday, and I can honestly say that it was the first audience that I have been so moved by to see so many people come that were in wheelchairs and someone stretchers and walkers and all of them were people who have had a lot of pain in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire audience was filled with people like that. And we sang to them, and I saw them in their chairs dancing and clapping and laughing, and I saw so much joy and love. And afterwards, when we finished, we all went out in the audience, and people just came over, and they just hugged us, and they just said thank you, you know, how much it meant to them to have that kind of, that treat, you know, for that day. And I thought, you know, that this was the kind of audience that we probably never would have played to or had the opportunity to perform to with had it not been for my husband being in that rehab facility. And it was just so moving to see that kind of response. And a lot of them kept saying this, well, you know, we would have paid to get a CD from you or different things. I kept saying, you know, we didn't even come with that thought in mind. We weren't thinking about getting paid for this. We were thinking about just giving back, wanting to give something of ourselves. And they, you know, and it was such a sense of love. I never felt so overwhelmed by the love in that room.
Oh, that's sweet. I love it.
I can feel it. Wow. It just permeates out.
Yeah. It was beautiful, beautiful experience.
Wow. Thank you.
Wahegiru.
Wahegiru, yeah. To my iPod.com. Wow, thank you, Tej Preet. The love's really flowing now.
Yeah.
I'm in the land of milk and honey right now. This is where I want to stay. Next week I'm not going to be able to host the call with somebody. Would you guys like to co-create it next week?
If somebody wants to be on, I will.
I will be on.
Okay. I'll let Areed host and Tej Preet co-create with her. How about that? Support her. And everybody support Areed. How about that?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Great. And you can just share stories and do whatever you like. It's all beautiful. We're all co-creating it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm just the illusion of, just think of me as like the headless leader. I'm just Medusa. I have like snakes coming out of my head, and you guys are all the kundalini snake energy that emanates.
Are you going away to a tree?
No, I just have to, well, I have to meet with a friend who's helping me with doing some yoga stuff and wants some help with it. So it's the person I told you that's going to be filmed.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see what happens. But he wants me to support him, and so I have to be there next week. So
that's great.
It's not too far from here, but yeah. So we'll see if we can get some yoga energy out, more yoga energy out to the world. More union, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we can talk, Ari, just to connect, and everybody, anybody else. So I'm here, and it's been great being with everybody today. We have a mission to reinstate that feeling of flowing in the land of milk and honey in our bodies on planet Earth. So I like what Yogi Bhajan used to tell us. He used to tell us to smile. So if you ever meet anybody and they say they don't know what their mission is, you as a goddess, fairy goddess mothers, not fairy godmother, fairy goddess mothers, can get out your magic wand and tell them that with the stardust of your consciousness, you are now going to alight them with their mission, which is to smile.
I like that.
I love that.
So it doesn't have to get complicated. People get all, we're so inundated with goals and, you know, trying to make it in the culture and, you know, whatever. It just becomes overwhelming. So we can lighten it up a bit and tell people we know what their true destiny and mission is.
Yes.
Smile and breathe in the land of milk and honey, which is now available in the field since we put it in today. More available.
The whole field.
The whole field is now lit. Good. I'll breathe to that. Yeah. Okay. Wonderful, everybody. I think I'm going to go out in the sun right now and take a little walk, and I'll be breathing this love from everyone, from the field, from our beautiful, beloved master, and our angels and our guides.
Thank you, Gloritarian, and thank you, beloved master, and all my bodhisattvas.
Thank you, Areed, for your beautiful flowing love, and thank you everybody on the call, known and unknown, voiced and not voiced. We feel your love, voiced and not voiced. We feel you, and all those who listen to the call later.
Thank you.
Our love goes out. Thank you, everybody. Satnam. And I'll talk with you in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.